Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is John Bradford. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Father. What a blessing to be here with you in your wilderness.
Yes, yes. So great to have you. John is sort of the founder, president, CEO of Wilderness Outreach, which is an apostolate to men in general, but Catholic men especially. Before we begin our conversation, let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for this time together in this conversation. We ask that you bless this time, bless our listeners. Help us, Lord, to grow in our trust in you, to see how you beautifully guide our lives through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, John, per kind of the custom here on Conversations on Discipleship, we always kind of start out with the story of our guests so that we can kind of hear how the Lord has worked in your life and how he has maybe guided you to him. And very often, as we, you know, kind of look at one's life, you know, there's like a beginning, oftentimes with a fall, you know, it's sort of like in Genesis. And then there is sort of a search and a finding of the Lord, and then very often ascending and a mission. And so maybe we could, in this, you know, in our time together in this segment, kind of focus on the beginning and of your story. So, John, if you could kind of just lead us, you know, how, right, you know, the journey of John.
Yeah, yeah. How about that? Yeah, so I guess I have to talk about that in terms of, at one time when I was born, I was a boy with a lot of potential to become a man. And I kind of say that because, you know, manhood, real manhood, something that needs to be trained into us as men, right? And so I think my early years, foot of my father and my uncles and my cousins, I was learning how to become a man. So, you know, it's important stuff. So these men taught me how to think and how to work. So I grew up in a family construction company, and where men found a lot of joy in work. There were many times on the job site, I know that we would have races to see who could do a particular job the fastest, and just stuff like that, like making a game out of work, but in a really good way. And so anyway, I end up working early on. I started working with my father on the weekends. He was a surveyor, and then he was also a builder, and so he taught me how to set up the instrument and how to check his math. And it was in the early days before we had the satellites that told you where to set the boundaries of the properties and the corners and everything. And then by the time I was 16, I was like working with the men on the job site. And I went there as a 16-year-old boy, like thinking, I really don't know much here. I thought I got to keep my mouth shut and just work hard. And it was kind of amazing because there were men there that just, I was amazed at how they could outwork me. I thought I was in pretty good shape for a 16-year-old boy, but it's like these guys knew how to work, and they really, and I learned a lot from them. I guess I learned that, you know, it's a man's duty to work hard and do more than your own part and always tell the truth. If you make a mistake, fess up, you know, come out and say, I made this mistake. So, yeah, that was kind of a lot of my formation. My father, when he had his conversion, which was September 8th, 1958, which is a pretty meaningful date. You know, it's the birth date of our Holy Mother.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I didn't realize that till later, but my father had a conversion at that point in time. And I was 6 years old at the time, and our family changed. It was like went night and day. My father became this provider and protector in our household, and we started going to church. Every Sunday, we would go to church, and my dad really dug in deep.
What was the context of his conversion?
Yeah, he was. So my dad was a World War II guy that landed in Normandy, went all the way to the Elbe River in Czechoslovakia, where they met the Russians through the whole slog and blood and death of World War II. And he picked up a bad habit of drinking. And so when he came out of World War II, he fought with that up to the age of like 35 years old, until a man from Alcoholics Anonymous came and talked to him. And it's like, I remember that night, that was the evening of September 8th, 1958, this man walked into the house, and my dad changed that night. And it was the first time I'd seen my father cry, actually. So, and what's interesting about that is this man's message to my father, unlike the psychiatrist and the pastors and everybody he had talked to, he basically came in there and said, look, you're an alcoholic. So am I. The difference between you and I is I'm sober and you're drunk. And it was like this is reality. It's time to come to Jesus. And that changed his entire life at that point in time, and the life of our family at that point in time.
You know, when we talk about manhood, so often our image of our manhood, and I would say almost universally, is of our father. And after your father's conversion, what kind of an influence was he on you?
Yeah, he was a deep reader. And it was like my dad's journey in his life, a lot of it had to do with, okay, God created this universe. It's really amazing. It's an amazing adventure into understanding into what is the meaning of God's universe. And so he just launched out into studying everybody from Immanuel Kant to Paul Tillich, just a number of different books. He took philosophy courses just outside of his normal workday because he had this thirst to understand what was going on in God's universe. And in his AA meetings, in fact, he would end up taking fire from both the real fundamentalist Christians who would basically believe that the earth was 6,000 years old. And then from the other side, he was trying to convince the atheists that, no, actually, there is a God. So he was arguing in this dual thing. So I was catching this. And so when my father would read these particular books, we'd go on hikes together. And I was like his go-to guy. He would talk to me. And I'm like 10, 12 years old. We're walking down the creek, and he's talking about, you know, what he's learning from Paul Tillich. And he's telling me about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And you know, and then the sacrifice he made to get to help the Jews in World War II. So he's reading about this. You know, at one point in time, I remember later on in life, my dad bought the Book of Mormon because he wanted to understand what it said. So when the Mormon guys came by, he'd say, "Come on in, let's talk." Right? So he's ready to actually argue about, you know, in a knowledgeable way about things. So that was a great influence on me to understand and to dig in deep and try to figure out what's going on.
And, you know, so often I think in the course of lives, there's sort of a wandering away. And I think that has also been a part of your own life journey.
Yeah, it really was. And I think it started like, I think it was really well formed coming out of a construction family with some really good values. But then I went to college and it's like I ran head on into secularism and all those temptations and everything. And so I ended up drifting and being, you might say, had too many bad influences around me, right? And it was kind of like, so I went through college, ran into this thing called secular feminism. It was actually feminism, but I term it secular feminism now. But just when I first heard the term feminism, I said, this is great. It's like, we're going to celebrate women for what they are. That's a good thing, right? But then I found out, no, it had nothing to do with that. Feminism actually had to do with this concept that men and women are actually the same. And the only reason why they're different is because the patriarchy's forced these differences on us, right? And I knew when I heard that, when I finally understood what that was, I knew to my very core of my being, I knew that's wrong, and that's not good. So anyway, after I went through college, I studied physics and mathematics, and there was something that was drawing me. It's like a lot of my friends ended up in graduate schools, and I had worked my way through college working in construction, had no debt. So imagine that coming out of the four years, no debt. And at the end of that, I worked that summer after graduation, loaded up my truck or my car at the time, and headed out. Mm. And I drove and took 6 weeks driving across, down all the way down to Key West, all the way across the United States, got to Nogales, New Mexico, thought, what the heck, I'll turn south and go down to into Mexico. So I went all the way down to a little place called San Blas, closing in on Mazatlan in that area, and then turned around and came back up in the United States, drove up the West Coast, ended up in a town called Santa Cruz, California, where I had $90 left in my pocket, which afforded me a small efficiency apartment and a bag of groceries, and I was broke. Mm. And the next day I went out and found some work, and, you know, found work in my trade, in the construction trade. Mm. So, yeah.
There begins, I think, in your own journey, you mention this cosmic warrior.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me of that, because I think that when I look back again at that formation, I was left with this inner knowledge that there is a battle between good and evil going on in the universe, and that I have got a role to play in that. In fact, that I was called to be a warrior in that. And years later, when I read Chesterton, he put a name to that. It was called the Cosmic Patriot. And I just felt when I read Chesterton's words of being a cosmic patriot, that's exactly what I felt like. So
well, you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been John Bradford. We're going to continue this conversation, but until next time, peace and all good.